Thank you, Duncan. This morning, as Duncan said, it's the third one in my series on the Father's love. And this morning I want to talk about a particular expression of love. I mean, love has many expressions, doesn't it? You know, I've known Duncan and Julie for 40 odd years, I guess it is. And, you know, I think we have a love for one another and so on. And when I greet them out of the love in my heart for them. And I believe they do that for me. When I have been traveling and come home and meet Fiona, it's a very different expression of love that is in my heart towards my wife and my children. You see, love has many different expressions, and one expression of love is comfort. And this morning I want to just talk about comfort, because comfort is it's an expression of love that I believe we all need to experience. It's actually mentioned in the Bible over 100 times in one form or another. But yet, comfort is something that we rarely talk about. I don't see comfort as being a topic, because that means we're going to intellectualize it. I see comfort as an experience that goes to the core of the pain in our heart. And I believe with all my heart, it's something all of us need to experience. But sadly, it's something we don't experience. We shy away from. I think sometimes we think it's a sign of weakness if we feel we need to be comforted. I want to start with the dictionary definition of comfort, which I feel is actually is spot on, really. But the dictionary says comfort brings relief from pain, distress or affliction. It satisfies and strengthens within, and it provides a sense of well-being or quiet enjoyment. You know, I like that. It provides a sense of well-being and quiet enjoyment. And the truth is, all of us have experienced pain or distress or affliction. And what comfort does is it brings relief from that pain, that distress, or that affliction. It touches us deep in our heart, and it strengthens and satisfies us. And my experience, over the last 3 years, I've spoken a lot on comfort. And what I'm doing this morning is really compressing a three-part series into half an hour or so. On my website, afathertoyou.com, there's a 30-page article and a three-part video teaching series. So if this is something you want to explore more, then I encourage you to look at that. But I believe this is something we desperately need in our hearts. Before we talk about comfort, I want to talk about what it's like to be uncomforted, to be comfortless. And Solomon describes this for us in Ecclesiastes. At the end of Solomon's life, he's looking back over his life, and he comes to this conclusion. And it's found in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, and it's the first three verses. And, you know, whenever I read this, it's a tragedy. It's an absolute tragedy that is being described for us here when we are left uncomforted. And this is what Solomon says. He says, "Again, I observed all the oppression that takes place under the sun. I saw the tears of the oppressed with no one to comfort them. The oppressors have great power and their victims are helpless. And I concluded that the dead are better off than the living. But most fortunate of all are those who have not yet been born, for they have not seen all the evil that is done under the sun." You know, Solomon observes that there's great oppression, there's great heartache, but there is no one to bring comfort to the people. The victims are helpless. And Solomon's conclusion is, we're better off dead than to live uncomforted. And it goes even further. He says, actually, those who are best off are those who have not yet been born, because they've not had the opportunity to live a life without comfort. And that is a tragedy. That is a real, real tragedy. But sadly, it's how many of us live our lives, not coming and receiving the comfort that the Father wants to pour into our hearts. As a church, over the last 2 to 3 years, you've walked through a huge number of different circumstances, a huge number of painful situations. And I know there's been grief, I know there's been pain, I know there's been hurt. And, you know, I'm just asking this morning that the Father leads us to that place where we can be truly comforted. Maybe over the last few years, because of what's happened, maybe over the last few months, maybe through lockdown, you know, things have happened and so on. And you know that you've just been trying to fight on your own and struggle on your own and get through on your own, and not allowed your heart to be comforted. And my prayer this morning is that we can open our hearts, as Michael prayed, that the eyes of our heart would be opened to see what the Father wants to do, to see how much he loves us. See, we all suffer loss. And when we suffer loss, what comes alongside loss is trauma. And I believe whenever we experience loss, we experience trauma. It's traumatic. It may not. And the trouble with trauma is, what is traumatic for me may not be traumatic for you. What is traumatic for you may not be traumatic for me. And we respond in different ways. But we kind of think that the trauma are the big things in life. But actually, even over this past year, through lockdown and through restrictions, we've all suffered loss. For many of us, it's been the loss of not being able to see our families, not being able to relate. For many of us, it's been the loss of not being able to gather in person on a Sunday morning. You know, that's a loss. We've experienced that loss. And with loss comes trauma. And whenever we experience loss, whenever we experience trauma, we need to be comforted. See, when we experience loss, when we experience trauma, it drains our emotions. And as our emotions are drained, we can become emotionally empty, and we need to be comforted. When we have a shock, you know, when something happens that shocks us, that's a trauma, that's a loss, and we need to be comforted. Whenever we have those feelings of being alone or abandoned or in pain or sick or wounded or bereaved or rejection, we need to experience the Father's comforting love. And what I've come to see about comfort and trauma is that whatever trauma, whatever loss we've experienced, we need to experience a greater measure of comfort than the loss we've experienced. We need to experience a greater measure of comfort. The comfort we need has got to go beyond the pain that we've experienced. See, the way I see it is, and I hope you can understand this picture, but the way I see it is like our heart is a container. And every loss or every trauma is like a heavy weight that settles in the depth of our heart. And the comforting love of the Father, it's like it is poured down the inside edges of our heart. And the comforting love of the Father goes underneath the trauma and the loss that we've experienced. And it fills our heart up from the bottom, from the depths. And it causes that trauma to rise, to float on the comfort that our heart is receiving. And the more comfort we receive, gradually that weight of trauma, that weight of loss is lifted up to the top of our heart. And eventually it floats away. That's why we need to receive more comfort than the loss we've experienced. If we only receive a small portion of comfort, then that trauma still stays in our heart. But if we receive the overflow of comfort, it causes that trauma, it causes that loss to float away. See, if we don't receive more comfort than the loss or the trauma or the pain that we've experienced, we are left in a state of pain. We're left in discomfort. We're not comfortable. And my heart and my prayer is that we would ask the Father to comfort us in the very depths of our being with all the comfort we need. And for some of us, the trauma, the loss may have happened many, many years ago. And we bury it and we get used to it, and it becomes like that unwanted friend in our heart, because we build our coping mechanisms to try and cope with this weight that we can't really identify, but we know is there. And what the Father wants to do, graciously and tenderly, is to pour his comfort into our heart and wash that trauma away. Psalm 119, verse 76 says, "May your unfailing love be my comfort according to your promise." See, love always comforts. And comfort is an expression of love that we desperately, desperately need. It's not a sign of weakness. It's just a sign of total dependency on our Heavenly Father. It's actually the greatest sign of strength that we can have, is to recognize the weakness in our heart, recognize the pain in our heart, and recognize that the only way that can be dealt with is by bringing it to the Father. That's, to me, the sign of strength. It's not a sign of weakness. But sadly, I don't think it's something we're very good at doing. As I travel around, and I've talked about comfort many, many times over the last 2 to 3 years, and you know, I ask people how many times they've heard talks on comfort, and I'm staggered that most people say, you know, once or twice or never. And I think that that's truly our experience, but yet this is something that is such a huge experience. It's something that's so important to the heart of the Father that he wants us to be comforted. We haven't got time this morning to look at all of the passages in Scripture, but this is big. This is big on God's heart, because he doesn't want us to be left in that state that Solomon describes in Ecclesiastes. He doesn't want us to be left in that tragic state of brokenness and despair, because despair is hopeless. He wants to bring us into a place of hope, and we come into that place of hope by allowing our heart to be comforted. We all suffer loss. We all suffer loss. We all suffer trauma. It affects us in different ways. And I think one of the sad things is because something is not traumatic for me, I don't recognize that as being traumatic for somebody else, you know, and I kind of think, what are they fussing about? You know, that's nothing. But for them, it's a loss, just in the same way as the trauma that I feel is a loss for me. And just because somebody responds differently doesn't mean to say they're not going through something. And I'm learning, and this has been a challenge for me personally, I'm learning to have a greater empathy with people going through things, because they respond in the way they respond, and that's okay. It's okay. And if you take hold of anything this morning, it's okay to realize, to acknowledge you've lost something. It's okay to acknowledge the pain and the desperation. It's okay. I want to give you permission to acknowledge that loss, to acknowledge that trauma, because that's the first step of allowing our hearts to be comforted. And when we acknowledge it, we can come to the Father and say, Father, this is how I am. This is the loss that I've been through. You know, over the last few months, over the last year or two, this is the loss. This is the pain. Father, will you be my comfort? And he will be. He promises to be our comfort. Matthew chapter 5, verse 4 says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And I know this is a hard message in some ways, but it's a pathway for us to walk into freedom. Whenever we suffer trauma or loss, we are bombarded by grief. We are bombarded by a weight of emotion. Shock, denial, pain, anger, guilt, despair, loneliness. All of those emotions are okay. They are natural. They ought to be expected, but sometimes, too often perhaps, we pretend it's not happening. See, grief is the bombardment of emotions that hits us so heavily. Mourning is the process of walking through the grief and the related emotions. And we must allow ourselves to mourn. Jesus says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And sometimes as we mourn, it's desperate, it's painful, we can't see. And I know some of you have experienced this firsthand over the last while. Some days you are hopeless. Some days there is no light at the end of the tunnel. Some days it's just dark. But Jesus's promise, the Father's promise to us, is as we mourn, we will be comforted. And this is not easy. It's not easy. I know it's not easy. I know from experience it's not easy. But I just want to encourage you not to bury your grief. But I want to encourage you to give yourselves permission to mourn. Because mourning is the journey through grief. It's through our mourning that we're comforted. And I really do believe that what the Father wants to do for us as a people is comfort us, is to touch areas in our lives that perhaps we've buried, we've pushed away. But he just wants to come with his healing oil of comfort and help us walk through that process of grief. Because one day there will be light at the end of the tunnel. People ask me, Mark, how much comfort do I need? How long will it take? There is no answer for that. It takes as long as it takes, and we need as much comfort as we need. And the journey is not easy sometimes. You know that. Many of you know that from personal experience. The journey is not easy, but it's the journey that leads us into freedom. It's the journey that leads us to life. And this expression of love that we don't talk about is what the Father desperately wants to pour into our hearts. Only love provides true comfort. And if love doesn't comfort, then we seek comfort in other areas. We perhaps look for it in wrong relationships, in possessions, in alcohol, in drugs, you know, anything that will take away the pain. And the thing is, all of those false comforts are like medicine. they help us for a while, but then the effect fades and we have to take the medicine again. But comfort, the Father's love, the Father's comforting love is the only thing that truly satisfies our heart. It truly is the thing that brings relief from pain, distress, or affliction. It's truly the thing that satisfies and strengthens us within. It's truly the thing that brings us to that place of quiet enjoyment. Quiet enjoyment. That's what my heart longs for. I believe that's what all of our heart longs for, is that place of quiet enjoyment. The journey to get there can be long, it can be hard, but it's the journey that brings us to a place of peace and rest. Isaiah 51 says this, Isaiah 51 verse 3. The Lord will surely comfort Zion. He will look with compassion on all of her ruins. He will make her deserts like Eden, her wastelands like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her. Thanksgiving and the sound of singing. When we are comforted, the comforting love of the Father transforms our heart. It takes the waste, the barren places, it transforms that desert. See, when our heart has suffered loss, it feels like a desert. And when the Father comforts us, that desert is transformed into the Garden of Eden, the Garden of the Lord. And joy and gladness will come. There may be days as we go through this journey of mourning that joy and gladness seem far away, where thanksgiving and singing seem far away, but the promise of the Lord to us is that joy and thanksgiving will come. That's what our heart longs for. In verse 11 of Isaiah 51, Isaiah says this, those the Lord has rescued will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them. And sorrow and sighing will flee away. I, even I, am he who comforts you. The power of comfort is immeasurable. It transforms the barren, broken places of our heart, and it brings joy and thanksgiving. It brings gladness. It does take time. But as we are comforted, so the Father leads our heart home. Therefore, the redeemed of the Lord will return. You know, as we are comforted, our hearts are drawn home. And this promise that we have in Isaiah is a promise for us today. It's a promise for us as the people that the Lord will comfort the brokenhearted. He will transform our hearts and he will bring us home. We all need to be comforted. We all need to be comforted. In John 14 verse 16, Jesus says, I'm going back to my Father, but I am going to send another comforter. Some translations say helper or counselor. But Jesus promises to send another comforter who will be with us forever. In verse 18, Jesus says, I will not leave you as orphans. And some translations say, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And that's the promise we have. We have the promise of the Holy Spirit, the other comforter who comes to live inside of our hearts so that we know that we're not left alone, to be that rock and to be that comfort, to be that strength, to be the one who comforts us. You see, I believe we need to go on receiving comfort. You know, how much comfort do we need? We need as much as we can get. Because I believe we can actually get to the place that we are comforted and we begin to live out of a comforted heart. And when we live from a comforted heart, we're living from a free heart. You know, there are days that I wake up and I don't feel I need any comfort. And I just say, Father, I don't feel I need any comfort today, but will you comfort me nonetheless so that I can live out of the overflow of comfort? And I can live from a free heart. You see, I think we get a glimpse of that in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, where Paul says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort that we ourselves receive. God is the God of all comfort. He's the God of all comfort. And he comforts us in all of our troubles so that we can live out of the overflow of comfort, and we can comfort other people with the comfort that we've received. If we haven't received comfort ourselves, all we can offer people is sympathy or empathy, which is great. People need sympathy, people need empathy. But if we've been comforted, if our hearts have been comforted, Paul says we can take that comfort that we've received and we can give it to other people. That's what people need. That's what this world is crying out for. More than ever, than we've ever seen in our lifetimes. This is a time that people in the world need to be comforted. And we are the ones who can tap into the source of all comfort. And I believe we need to ask the Father to comfort ourselves, to comfort us for the sake of comforting us, for the sake of comforting our own hearts. And in time, that comfort will overflow out of our hearts to other people. And we will be a message. We will be a comforting people. We will be a comforting church that can bring this transformation that we've read about in Isaiah 51. We can bring that into people's lives. More than ever, I was talking to a friend of mine who's a therapist in Northern Ireland. And he said that, you know, Northern Ireland's had lots of mental health problems over the years, way, way above the UK average. And he was saying, you know, the increase in mental health problems over the year has been colossal. The suicide rate in Northern Ireland has gone through the roof. And, you know, we are living in a day like we've never lived in before, where there are so, and we're not going to see the results of, I don't believe we're going to see the results of the mental health pressure and problems for a while to come. It's going to take time to come through, because what people need is a voice of comfort after everything that we've been through. They need comfort, and we can give people that comfort, but we can only give it to them. Okay, let me change. Yeah, is that back? Okay. You know, people need comfort, and as we receive comfort ourselves, we can then let that overflow to other people around us. We all need to be comforted. We all need to be comforted. And I just want to encourage you, as I finish, to take your heart to the Father. You know the loss that you've suffered. You know the pain that you've been through. And you know the grief that you've experienced. And I want to encourage you, I want to invite you to take your heart to the Father and allow him to comfort you. I just want to pray. I want to pray that we receive comfort. But many of us will need to go on asking the Father to comfort us today, tomorrow, for the next few weeks. My simple prayer is just to put my hand on my heart and say, Father, will you comfort me right now? And I know he does. And so let's just pray. Let's just bring our hearts to the Father. Father, we just acknowledge that you are the God of all comfort. You are the Father of all compassion. And Father, we bring our hearts to you now, that your comforting love would be poured into our hearts, and that your comforting love would bring relief from the pain and the distress and the affliction that we experience, that your comforting love would satisfy and strengthen us within, that your comforting love would bring us that sense of quiet enjoyment. That, Father, your comforting love would transform the barren places, the desert in our hearts, and that your comforting love in time would bring joy and gladness, thanksgiving and singing. Father, may the God of all comfort, may the Father of all compassion, may he reach down. Father, may you reach down and pick us up in your everlasting arms and hold us close to your heart. In Jesus' name, amen.